people are feeling still a big emptiness, right? There's a big emptiness. And now things like breath work and yoga and qigong, a lot of spiritual practices are becoming very, very popular because it kind of fills up an emptiness that a lot of people feel. And also the way that we live our life now is not very healthy for our physical and mental body. And a lot of people notice that they get burned out, they get stressed, they get all sorts of physical and mental ailments because of that way of living and the way our society is behaving is not very healthy. So people are discovering this now and realizing like, hey, okay, I have everything, but my career, my work, my how people see me on social media, that's not everything, because if I don't feel connection, if I don't feel happiness, if I don't feel inner peace, I still have nothing. So now people are getting very attracted also to that side of life, let's say the more spiritual side of life.
That was a clip from our upcoming conversation today with Michael Biker, a fantastic breathwork instructor with beautiful online courses. Michael is on a mission to spread knowledge, health, and wisdom. And he is the founder of Yoga Lab. And he has had over 80,000 students from 176 countries enroll on his beautiful breath courses. He teaches powerful breathing techniques to help us awaken to our full potential. I've linked to all of Michael's details down below, and this is a wonderful conversation about power of healing to observe and manifest what we want as we go through our own spiritual journeys. And he's got a very interesting backstory he's going to share with us as well. I can't wait for you to listen to this podcast. Michael is so good, and I adored his conversation so much. I've signed up now for his instructor training course. I'm going to put all the links down below. So if you want to join me, if you want to take his other courses, everything's down there. We go really deep on kind of society and breath work and what breath work's bringing us today and maybe why we're so attracted to it. And Michael's also taken us through a beautiful breathing exercise in sunny Portugal. So you get that as part of this as well. So in a moment, we'll jump into that. Just a couple of quick messages from me. Thank you so much. If it's your first time here, this is Breathcast, a dedicated breathwork podcast where I get to interview the world's top breathing experts, scientists, authors, yoga instructors, and everybody in between. And so there's plenty of wonderful conversations with top people talking about breath. We're 50 episodes deep now, and we're only just starting to scratch the surface of breathing, believe it or not. So there's plenty more miles in those tires. I want to just ask you as well, have you ever thought about becoming a breathwork ninja? Well, if you have, or maybe you're not sure, or maybe that intrigues you, my Functional Breathing Ninjas course is now available, and the link is down below. 5 years of research looking at how to breathe, why we should breathe properly, the benefits, let's lower our blood pressure, let's improve heart rate variability. How can we make sure we don't get injured when we go to the gym? How can we increase our performance if we're an athlete? How can we stop making ourselves be out of breath when we get up the stairs? Breathing is our foundation. It is the rock bed. If our breathing's off, our sleep is off. And if our sleep is off, then good luck for diet and exercise. And if we can get our breathing right, it just gives us that strong foundation. And that's what my course is here for. And the link down below, there is also an offer code to give you 22% off. It's completely risk-free. There's a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you don't like this course, you drop me a note and you get your money straight back again. What's better than that? Spending 5 weeks with me on a masterclass, really simple, individual breathwork sessions and the science, not boring, so that you can really deeply learn about functional breathing and breathe like a ninja. I don't know why I did that. That's more karate. Anyway, link is down below. Make sure you check out our other channel, the Big Take a Deep Breath channel, where there's loads of breathing exercises, interviews, clips, and everything else. I'm going to stop yabbering now, and we're going to crack on with this wonderful, wonderful conversation with Michael Biker. So see you there. Cheers. Okay, we have hit record. So Michael, I just want to say, first of all, thank you so much for coming on Breathcast. It's an absolute pleasure to be talking to you. How are you today?
Thank you very much for having me, Mike. I'm great. Yeah, I just came back from a little swim in the nice cool water here in Portugal in the south, and yeah, life is flowing well. Thank you. Yeah, I hope for you as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just looking at your background just makes me feel so relaxed and peaceful. I can only imagine how wonderful it must be to actually live there. That must be absolutely fantastic.
It is great. I always felt it's really important for me to have a lot of sunshine. So that's why one of the reasons why I came to live here is the sun is for me a big source of mental energy as well to feel uplifted and to feel good. So it's definitely good.
Yeah, I interviewed a guy a little while ago. He makes red light therapy devices. I don't know if you haven't come across these. And he now lives, I think, in South Africa. And he said to me, I moved to the Southern Hemisphere for my health. And I was like, wow, what a statement that is to make, you know, to actually move to a completely different part of the planet. But I guess it's similar to what a lot of people do. You know, you've made that transition. Do you feel that your mind is do you feel that you're in like a better place when the sun shines out? Does it make much difference to you?
I must say that I do also feel very good when I'm in a cold environment and also when especially in autumn in the north, a bit more in the north in Holland, I always felt that's a beautiful time of the year as well. But it's just that the winters take a little bit too long there, right? So then always in February I felt a little bit like, well, I need a bit of more sunshine. But I do feel on the one hand the cold really in the north gives you a lot of mental energy, it keeps you really awake. And whereas here in the south, if it gets really hot, you do slow down mentally a little bit. But I also feel, you want to be outdoors the whole day. And being outdoors is just, for me, much more, energizing than sitting indoors the whole day.
Yeah, it's the way we're designed to be, isn't it? We've gone the other way now. We're 90% indoors and we used to be 90% outdoors, I think. So I think you're on the right path. I'd love to just start picking your brains on, because I think there's so many conversations we can have today. I'd love to know a bit about your history, if you don't mind, and how you got into breath work. I'd love to hear that story.
Yeah, of course. So I was raised always in a very Christian environment, but I was always wondering about life, about God, about creation, about reality, basically. And I had to go to church every Sunday, so I had a lot of time while being in church to think about things, because I was not always agreeing so much with what was being said in the church, and I didn't always agree with the way of the Christian religion. Where I always found that there is at the source there is a truth in this about God, about love, about your connection with the divine, and I got more and more interested in that. And then I think when I was about 13, 14, I started doing more things with meditation, because the more I dived into theoretical things, the more I also started to feel, well, you can know things on a very theoretical level, but it doesn't mean you are experiencing it. And that's what I saw a lot in my environment as well. A lot of people talking a lot about things, but I don't think they were really feeling it, really experiencing it, really living it in a way. So I started to become more interested in, okay, what is it then, reality? And not only reading about it, but also just closing your eyes or sitting in nature, watching things, and just observing like, okay, now there's feelings there. Now there's all of the sudden a restlessness and I desire something. And then when I fulfill the desire by, for example, eating chocolate, then all of the sudden desire is away, but then I desire a new thing. And like that, the whole pattern of feeling and thinking and desiring and also resisting and fear, I started to discover that more and more. And then I saw also, I was starting to think so much and feel so much that I, in a way, got a little bit too restless in the mind. And I started developing all sorts of ailments on the skin, eczema. And then after some time, I went to all sorts of doctors, and then they gave me creams and they gave me pills and they gave me I don't know what. But the eczema always kept coming back, and it got worse and worse. And then I went to a wonderful Chinese medicine doctor, and he said, because your mind is overheated, you see it back in the skin. It's like you have burn, like your whole energetic system is just too hot, and that's why you get like burns on your skin. He said it in that way. And then I thought, oh, that's interesting. I did a lot of meditation, but it always involved also a lot of thinking constantly throughout the day. I was not much really at peace, because not necessarily bad thoughts, but just a lot of thinking. And then I started to go more into really a way of meditation, to really let go of the mind also, not just thinking, but letting go of the mind. And with that, the breathing also really, really helped. And then I discovered more and more these kind of things. And I got a big car accident when I was 18. I was paralyzed on the right arm for some time. My spine was broken, and all sorts of things. And then I, to heal, I started to develop also more the practices of Qigong, of yoga, all sorts of things, and this greatly helped. And on that whole process of these challenges that I had, of eczema, of a car accident, my father passed away when I was quite young, all these things, they pushed me in a direction to learn how to heal myself, basically, and learn more about life, about reality. And then slowly I saw in many other people that all this knowledge that I gathered, I can share that a bit with others as well. And I started teaching other people more and more as well. And I think like yourself, sharing knowledge is a very, very wonderful thing to do. I think helping others and doing something meaningful for others in this world is one of the most rewarding things you can do in this life.
Yeah, yeah, it's a real privilege, isn't it, to be able to learn things and then share that in your own way. Yeah, I feel very, very blessed to be able to do that. There's a lot to unpack there. You know, the eczema thing's very interesting, because I had quite severe eczema, and it was almost after a few months after a breakup in a relationship, it completely healed. And I was in a lot of stress in that relationship. So it is the mind, how it connects to the skin and to the body, and the overheating. That's a very interesting term. I hadn't thought about that. Yeah,
absolutely.
You, how old were you when you started teaching people some of these things? Were you like 18, 19?
No, I was quite a bit older. I was about, I think, 28 or something when I really started teaching others. But before that, in the meantime, I here and there, when people just asked me to do something, I would teach people a little bit, but nothing too serious. I always felt a little bit like it was a very private thing for myself to do. I had, on the one hand, life with my friends, and it was very, let's say, unspiritual friends a lot, but I had a wonderful connection with that beautiful life. And I always had my own life as well, where it was very much about spirituality and these things. But I think after, when I was about 28, something like that, I saw like, hey, there are all these techniques, like the breathing, like the yoga, that had helped me so much until then. And it felt like I completed a cycle of self-development, and that cycle became also to help develop in other people's lives, right?
It's that thing, I've heard that, you know, a few times actually. It's the I think they may call it like the wounded healer, but you know, you go through something yourself and you learn some techniques, and that person always tends to be a better person to then help others because they've experienced it themselves. And yeah, that makes sense with yourself, especially with the car crash. So what did you do post car crash? Can you share any of the kind of actions you took that maybe helped you get back onto the road to recovery?
Well, the Qigong and the yoga really helped. First of all, I think I was very blessed before that. I was already so much involved with spirituality and finding out how the mind works, the brain works. So I already saw very much the power of a positive mindset, right? And realizing that everything that happens in this life is a thing to, in a way, help you grow, to help you mature as a spirit, to go through certain experiences, whether it's very bad experience or very positive experience. Everything can help you to grow into a more evolved or experienced spirit. And so when I had the car crash and I was in a hospital after that, my body was completely broken, but mentally I was feeling very uplifted. Yeah, thank God I was feeling like, okay, it's an experience that I'm having. I'm grateful for this also. And in a way, a trust that everything was going to be all right, even if doctors said, well, probably some things won't heal anymore. And that positive mindset is really the foundation, I think, to see like, okay, I accept this experience that I have. I'm not feeling resistance, not feeling anger, frustration, or self-pity or something, but I accept the experience completely. I'm grateful to that. And from there, feeling the trust that everything that happens in life can be for the good, if you have a certain let's say mindset towards that, like of gratitude. And then I started also, of course, taking action and doing lots of yoga, and the Qigong especially, I think it really pushed me through that, to with these slow, gentle movements, just to start to increase again the flow through my whole nervous system, which was very damaged, of course, in the right arm. And with that mindset of, okay, I can start bringing healing again. I slowly start making small movements. The movements become bigger. And like that, I brought, thank God, the healing back in my life.
Yeah, incredible. And a few people have talked to me recently about Qigong, not on the podcast, just in general. So I think, like I said to you yesterday, about Portugal keeps coming up. Qigong keeps coming up at the moment in my mind. So it's something I'm very interested in. So can you talk a bit about Qigong and how that works with the breath, and why you enjoy it, and why you teach it to others? Just love to hear your thoughts on that.
So Qigong is basically, most of the people know yoga, right? And but let's say Qigong is almost like a bit of the Chinese variant of yoga. It's about slow movements, very gentle slow movements, and doing with a lot of mindfulness, and doing it with very calm, slow breathing. But there is the movement, but also the breathing techniques, which are very important. As you have in yoga, the pranayama, the breathing techniques will really help one to, in a way, calm down, also balance the nervous system, balance the mind, to be able to meditate, to sit in meditation with a very calm mind, calm nervous system, a strong body, so that you can cultivate your, let's say, your consciousness, your awareness to a higher level, or to expand it, right? So the movements, the breathing, and the meditation are like three fundamental things in the Qigong practice. And it's learning to cultivate your qi and your life energy. Mm-hmm. For a lot of people, they think like, well, yeah, life energy, blah, blah. But in a way, I can move my fingers because there I have energy, right? I can think, I can feel, I can live because there's energy, and electric energy also flowing through my nervous system. The thing though is, many people can control their energy in a way that they can move their fingers, but they cannot control their energy, how the neurons are firing together in the brain, because the brain is constantly overthinking, or certain patterns of emotions that are really stuck. They cannot control that. But it's learning to cultivate your ability to control the whole spectrum of your energy flow, so that you can calm down the neural network that is firing together, or that you can calm down your emotional system as well. And by doing so, you've probably had some talks with other guests already, your mind reflects back into your state of body. So if your mind feels strong, uplifted, if the mind is full of energy, of positive, good energy, so it reflects back into the body already in your posture, right? But if there's tension in the mind, if there's tension in your emotional system, you start to tense up and create blockages in the body. But that goes, of course, a lot deeper as well, because you can really, by some breathing techniques, concentrate your awareness to certain places and breathe that healing, breathe that energy towards that place. And the qi is the life energy. The gong means to work with or to breathe. So it's learning to work with your own energy. It's your life energy, right? So learn to control that as well. And this is a very powerful thing. And I believe it is the next step in human evolution also to be really able to control that energy in their lives.
Yeah, we can cut this bit out if you want later, but have you seen these people that have the qigong energy that can send electricity to you or make things catch fire? Have you seen this?
I have seen it. I have seen it. I must say I'm also a little bit skeptical about this. I have seen it. As a matter of fact, this morning I was sent something about one teacher that wanted to come teach on one of our retreats, and he had one of these videos with that as well. And I am quite skeptical with this, but maybe it's true. I think for some people, maybe the focus becomes very much on the physical, and maybe it's true, maybe it's not. But I think the much more profound thing about this is that you can go beyond the physical. If you know what I mean. So that you start to realize, okay, we are this physical body in this physical realm. However, to really connect with a higher self, with your pure consciousness, which is beyond the matrix of this physical realm that we are in, for that we have to, in a way, transcend our physical body. And then it's not about doing tricks by being able to control the physical realm, but be able to let go in a way of the physical realm and understand that on a more profound level, life is so much more than this. It's so much more profound than just flesh and bones or physical energy or being able to move things in this matrix of space and time, but to understand that there is a deeper, profound, divine consciousness that we are all part of, the part of the source, and to be able to connect with that.
Yeah. Do you have a this is obviously quite an open, loaded question, but what are your thoughts on why we have conscious breathing as humans? Why can we choose our breath? What do you think the reason is that we can do this?
Oh, that's a beautiful question. That's a beautiful question. Well, not sure why that is, because that would imply, I think, that there is a certain thought or reason behind it. Maybe it is the thing that connects our subconscious with our conscious, right? Because with the breathing, it's like a remote control. With my breathing, I can control my state of body. I can, with very strong breathing, excited breathing, I can raise my heart rate, bring blood pressure up, increase the metabolism, release certain types of hormones that are very activating. Whereas with my very calm, slow breathing, I can control my nervous system in a whole different way by calming everything down, slowing down the heart rate till it goes like 40 BPM or even less, right? Slowing everything down, the whole nervous system. So the breathing, if used in a very conscious way, you can start to influence, like the remote control, the other systems in your body as well. And whether that is, let's say, on purpose created like that, that you can control your breathing, or whether it is not, I'm not sure, of course, but yeah, it is a very, very, very powerful tool to really take control of your chi, of your life energy, of your nervous system, your mind, etc.
Yeah, I always find it like it's a key, isn't it? We've got this key, and we can change how we think and how we feel, everything, you know, just by changing our breath. And I'm always fascinated. It took me nearly 40 years to understand I had this key, and so many people still don't know that they have it. We talked about this a little bit before we hit record. What do you think the future's going to look like in terms of breath work, consciousness? Where do you think we're heading?
I think now we are really at a kind of, let's say, spiritual tipping point in a way, because we have now everything we need to survive, right? And we have everything we need to in a way, live a balanced life if we want to, if we decide not to crave too much of the technology, all these things. But people are feeling still a big, big emptiness, right? There's a big, big emptiness. And now things like breath work and yoga and qigong, a lot of spiritual practices, are becoming very, very popular, because it kind of fills up an emptiness that a lot of people feel. And also the way that we live our life now is not very healthy for our physical and mental body. And a lot of people notice that they get burned out, they get stressed, they get all sorts of physical and mental ailments because of that way of living, and the way our society is behaving is not very healthy. So people are discovering this now and realizing, like, hey, okay, I have everything, but my career, my work, my how people see me on social media, that's not everything. Because if I don't feel connection, if I don't feel happiness, if I don't feel inner peace, I still have nothing. So now people are getting very attracted also to that side of life, let's say the more spiritual side of life. Mm-hmm. And these two, I believe, will very much start to complement each other. In a way, I very much think that there's a lot of beautiful things about technology, about inventing things, and about, the evolution of technology, how that is going. I think it's beautiful. But on the other hand, now we start to really cultivate, hopefully, also that spiritual side of humanity. And we start to maybe teach our children not only about how to make geography well, or mathematics, or how to learn about economics, all these things, but also teaching children from a young age how to deal with your emotions, how to deal with your mind, how with calm breathing techniques you can calm everything down. Or if you need a bit more energy to do something, how you can use your breath to energize everything. Teaching more about really the influence of food on your energetic system, all these kind of things. So when we raise our children in that way, it can go hand in hand, the technology and the spiritual life. And it will very much become a normality that when people say, well, I'm going to now take 10 minutes to just do some meditation on the work floor, that it will become normal. It's not like, well, that guy is or that woman is really a bit crazy. What I used to have a lot when I was younger, right? I said sometimes, well, guys, I'm going to do a little bit of meditation. I was like, oh, he's just spacing out. So in that way, I think society will very much change. And this practice and this cultivation of meditation, of breath work, of the mind and the emotional system will very much help us evolve to live in a very different way, because we will be able to already feel completeness without having the newest iPhone, the newest MacBook, the newest the car, whatever it is. But we realize that, okay, I can already cultivate inner peace, completeness, just by taking a couple of moments every day to do some breathing techniques. And that's the foundation, and not the emptiness foundation that constantly needs to be filled up.
Yeah, the wanting or the need or the longing for something, it just brings that misery, doesn't it? And even I catch myself sometimes and they go, oh, I need a new phone. I need the new iPhone because then I'll be happy if I have that. Look at the camera. And you got to catch yourself and go, no, no. Interesting what you mentioned as well about spirituality. And then you talked about church earlier because I was thinking just then, the churches are empty now in England. I don't know about the rest of the world, but the churches are empty, but the yoga studios are full. And so you can see the shift. And I hadn't made that connection till you just said it now. I was like, yes. And people checking in to do courses and watching these sort of things. You know, people are very interested in this, but the old school religions have maybe had their day a little bit now. And we're moving into this more freeform thing, which I think is really lovely. And the technology side as well. I think, you know, this is a good example. You and I are on different places and yet we can have a really wonderful conversation. And, you know, hopefully thousands of people will watch this and they can absorb some of that energy as well. But yeah, I do notice the addictive qualities that some of these things can have on us, and we've got to be really careful. Any advice for people with children on what they can do with breathing and tech, you know, as a parent yourself, can you share any wisdom with us?
How you mean how to stop getting the addiction of the screen?
And maybe it's a two-part question. So how to bring up children with balance when it comes to tech, but also how to integrate the breath and the mindfulness. So there's quite a lot there to answer, maybe.
Yeah, I think first of all, showing that real life is more fun than life behind the screen, right? Yeah. So showing them that you're having fun when you're going outdoors, that the parents enjoy themselves and not that the parents are behind the computer the whole day and then they say to the kids, no, but you have to play outside and all these things, right? And doing fun things. And children will always copy the behavior of the parents very much, right? And not just what parents tell them how they should live. So this is be an inspiration for your kids. Get hobbies that you do a lot outdoors. Enjoy going for hikes, swims in the nature, whatever it is, and take your kids with that as well. And on the other hand, also teaching children, I think, how to feel bored. Because a lot of times it is very easy as a parent, and I have two kids myself as well, when they get a little bit bored and they start to get a bit annoying, right? And then they start to whine and this and that. But then to not be like, okay, well, watch the TV, then at least you're quiet. But let them be bored. Okay, you don't have to get angry with them. You don't have to just stay really patient, stay loving, but it's okay to feel bored. And this helps so much also to develop the ability to become creative, to start to think about things that they can do to enjoy themselves, to make, be creative in playfulness. And otherwise what happens is that people don't become able to be bored or to be a bit uncomfortable. And the first thing when they feel uncomfortable is what they learn and what they do is go behind the screen. And you create a very self-destructive behavior by doing that. So the last thing I think about this is to also teach that, like I mentioned already, being able to feel a bit of discomfort, but also teaching them how to become okay with the discomfort and to feel at ease, at peace. And okay, sometimes you feel discomfort. Okay, sometimes you feel a bit of emptiness or boredom. It's okay. It's all right. Just feel it. And by doing so, you are teaching, and this is what I teach a lot of adults as well, but children as well, to understand that your feelings and the way your neurons are firing together, and your mind and your thoughts, they don't have to control you. You can identify yourself with the observer of your feelings, of your thoughts, and recognize with a little smile, like, ah, I feel a bit of negativity now. It's okay. Or I feel a bit of sadness or boredom or anger. It's okay. It's a life experience. And by doing so, you are not so much anymore under the control or influence of your thoughts and desires, but you are identifying with your true self, as they say in yoga and Buddhism, everything, your real self, your higher self, your consciousness, the listener or the watcher of your life, right? And making children and people in general understand that is what they truly are. That is their real self. And that brings such a huge transformation, such a huge freedom, because then all of a sudden it's not that you're constantly swimming in a river, and sometimes the river is wild, sometimes the river is calm, sometimes the river is a waterfall, and you feel happy when the water is calm, but you feel terrible when the water is very turbulent. No, but that you can sit beside the river and recognize, ah, I watch the river flow, it's okay. And that brings such a peaceful foundation to life, such a profound, let's say, very other way of living and dealing with your emotions and mind, which is very, very transformative.
Yeah. You know, I'm just listening to you and I'm thinking, oh my God, I do this a lot. So I'll be a little bit bored, let's say, during the day, and I'll think, oh, I need some chocolate. So I go downstairs to the kitchen, have some chocolate, or I have a coffee, and I'm looking for that stimulation or that dopamine to change my state. And I can recognize it now. So if I get a stressful email, I go for the chocolate quite quickly. So any advice or breathing techniques to help kind of interrupt that pattern? Because there might be like, oh, I'm feeling quite bored and I need to go downstairs to the kitchen and get a chocolate bar. Is there something we can do to kind of interrupt that you've got any advice on?
Well, Mike, as you're saying, like you're doing now, I think that's one of the most powerful things, that just during the day, just observing that, right? And recognizing, like, hey, and it doesn't mean that you constantly try to control yourself. No, I should not eat the chocolate, but I feel so much I want to eat the chocolate. No, you shouldn't. And you get this duality, like one part of the mind trying to control another part of the mind. If you really need to eat the chocolate, eat the chocolate, right? But do it very consciously. Watch very well what is actually happening. What am I doing? Okay, I feel the need to eat chocolate. Now I eat the chocolate with full mindfulness. Okay, now again, I feel all of a sudden, I feel a bit calmer again. But maybe 5 minutes later, again, that pattern repeats itself. And also being able to just take a couple of calm breaths, you feel the desire to eat chocolate. Okay, what is actually happening? Where can I feel it? I feel a tension. Maybe it's linked with a certain emotion of that email that you just received, or somebody said something to you. Okay, I feel this contraction somewhere in my physical body. Ah, interesting. Like watching a very interesting documentary of what is actually happening. Instead of being blinded by the thoughts like, oh, you should eat chocolate, you deserve it, oh, it's so nice for you, or no, you should not eat it, that you observe, take a step back, what is actually happening? How am I making my choices right now? And this is very powerful to do. And for that to help you in the process, just taking three breaths every now and again, just three calm breaths, if it's good to learn to breathe from the belly up, but like, it's very slow in and slow out, just becoming present. It's also called the stop method, to stop whatever you're doing, to take a couple of deep breaths, to observe what is actually happening, what you're feeling, and then to proceed in your life. To constantly bring yourself back to where am I actually? What am I actually feeling? And how am I choosing my direction in life? Yeah. And then, of course, Mike, it's very good every day to take some time to sit still, to be able to do some breathing techniques, and to then observe by doing meditation, what am I actually feeling? Ah, it's a big chaos in my mind. Ah, okay, I can calm it with the breathing. Or I feel very low on energy. Okay, I change it with the breathing. But a lot of people, find it super important to feel happy, but to prioritize 20 minutes of their time every morning, it's too much for them to do. So starting off with doing things like that, just 5 breaths or 3 breaths every now and again, and to observe the patterns of your mind and emotional system.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you. Yeah, the stop method. I like that, the stop breathing method. Can you share? I get this question a lot, and I always find it hard to answer because people say, "Well, what does your daily practice look like?" And I think, well, mine evolves; it changes a lot. But what are some of the things that you're currently doing in terms of your wellness, breathwork, rituals, daily practices?
For me, it also changes a lot, I must say. But at the moment, I try to wake up really early, and so before everybody is already awake, I have a kid. So let's say around 6 o'clock or 5 o'clock sometimes. And then I start off with just doing a bit of opening up of the body, a 5-minute practice, very short, but it helps to wake up the body a little bit. And then I take some time to sit, to do some breathing. I do some strong spinal breathing like this, fully in and fully out. I do it for about 2 rounds, and nothing too much, but just enough to oxygenate, to wake up, to increase the flow of energy. And then I take time to slow down the breath, slowing down the breath. And with every breath out, I let go a little bit more, as if I can connect my breathing with my nervous system. I can connect my breathing with my energetic system, and I start to smoothen things out. So to prepare myself to go into a state of profound meditation, to sit and to just be for some time. And that's a great, great foundation of my day. And I live here very nearby the sea. So a lot of times I would take my bicycle, I go to the sea, I jump in the sea first and do then this procedure. But you know yourself, and many of you listeners as well, that the change it makes for the rest of your day is incredible. You create such a good foundation for the rest of the day.
Yeah, it's funny what you said earlier about, you know, we want to be happy, but we can't find 20 minutes. And I struggled with that for years. And so through many different trial and error, I was able to go, right, this is so important here, but you have to have a lot of, I had to have a lot of conversations with myself to go, come on, what's the goal here? Some practice. But then I can definitely attest to the fact that the days that I spend that time in the morning working on myself, the day is just easier, better, happier. And the days that I'm too busy, the day is then stressful. I was like, oh, I wish I'd done some breathing this morning and that. So yeah, I'm still learning, but this having a really, I don't want to say powerful, but having a bespoke routine, morning routine is really great, isn't it? And everyone's got their own, you know, your own rhythms and what works for you and all of that. But I'm very, very happy for you, but also jealous that you have the sea so close.
It makes a big difference, I must say. But also when I didn't live near the sea, I did it also not by the sea, but sure. I think when trying to create a routine like that, it's good to just start with just 5-minute practice or something, right? Yeah. Just take some time to sit and take 10 breaths. But from a small routine, you start to grow it into a longer routine, because it's like, if you get the routine of sleeping, of eating, your physical body also has its circadian rhythm, in which your whole digestive system starts to tune up with that as well. So every day at the same time, you have to go to the toilet to empty your bowels. Mm-hmm. But the same is with the mind and your brain as well, is the rhythm that your body knows early in the morning. Okay, now it's time to wake up and do some breathing or do some meditation. After already 5 days of doing that, your body gets into the routine and it's very easy to do.
Yeah, it's funny because knowledge is obviously wonderful, and you can go on social media and you can see like Jeff Bezos morning routine or, you know, all these different things. But then it can become very overwhelming because it's like cold shower, meditate, journal, breath work, stretch, ground your body, go do some yoga. And then, you know, you got 15 things and then you do two and you feel like a failure. But you're right. It's 5 minutes, 10 breaths, I think is fantastic just to start, and no pressure. And then you're right, you build that habit. I think that's fantastic.
Exactly. And from there, you build on and you start to enjoy it instead of that it's like, oh, I have to do it. Oh. Yeah. It's like sometimes people... they really need their morning coffee, and if they don't have the morning coffee, they really feel they're missing out. And that's the same thing with the breathing. You start to feel, if you haven't done it, you missed out on something. It's very, very good to do.
I agree. So what's your kind of mission? What's you and your organization? What kind of your future goals? Where are you going?
So the idea is to, like I mentioned, sharing knowledge is I think, one of the most wonderful things do, or and helping others in general, right? And it just feels for myself, from a purely selfish point of view, I just really like to do this for other people. But on the other hand, there's also, I think, a great need. Like you said, the churches are running empty. The yoga schools are filling up because people feel the need to connect with their true self, so to say. It's so easy to lose ourselves in the way as the society is going now, in the technology and all these things, but to bring people really back to that connection with their true self, their divine self. And so this is done through a lot of different courses that I teach, and the courses are mostly for pay what you can price, but also if people cannot afford it, they can do it for free. And in that way, to contribute, like many others are doing, by the way, yourself as well, but to contribute to creating together a bit of a better world. Because I very much believe that a change also to change the way we behave in our consumerism, which affects so much the planet and climate change and all these things, it has to come from within people. You can put a lot of rules on people, or it's like somebody who is very addicted to drugs or to alcohol. You can put everything on a lock, but the desire stays there. But if you start to change from within the behavior of an addict, then real change can happen, and you don't need to put all the rules on it. And it's the same with humanity now as well. We try to change very much our behavior by putting rules on it and then saying how stupid we are and we shouldn't do that and feeling guilty and all these things. But the change has to come from within. When people start to feel completeness within, our behavior will change, our consumerism will change, our interaction with nature and with animals and other human beings, it will change. It become not a normality anymore to go to war. It won't be supported by anyone anymore, if you know what I mean. So all of this, and the breathing and the meditation and the Qigong, all these techniques, I strongly believe really helps with that. And further, if people really learn how to use the power of their mind and their emotional system, they will become also greatly able to give their own future shape, to choose the direction in which their own personal lives are going, and to create in a way their own future self, but also as a humanity as a whole, we are able to focus on and create a new world, so to say, a whole other way of living together and to interact with nature and in this planet. And nowadays we see, if you watch movies or the news, we have such a negative outlook on the future. And it's, if I speak to younger people nowadays, they pretty much, everyone thinks that in 100 years from now, the planet will be turned completely to crap. It will be completely destroyed. And in a way, with a mindset like that, we also start to behave in that way subconsciously. And we decide in that way, the way that we feel about ourselves, the way that we feel about our future, the emotion that we connect with that, is also the direction we will go. That goes for people personally, but it goes also as a humanity as a whole. But to be able to together create a mindset like, okay, we have been behaving very self-destructively, but we have the resources, we have the power, we have the ability, and hopefully the will as well, to change our ways, to create a good future, and to give, to feed ourselves that with that thought, instead of the only movies you see about the future is the Armageddon, world going to shits, and it's all turning into a terrible hell. But to feed ourselves with the ideas, everything is possible. We can make this a beautiful planet, beautiful future.
That's lovely. That's really beautiful. You know, I didn't realize I was doing that as well until I heard like a Elon Musk interview on a TED talk about 6 weeks ago. He was doing a talk and he was so optimistic about the future. He's like, we can solve climate change. We can get people on Mars. And he gave this whole talk and it was so strange. I was like, this is weird. He's saying that we're going to be okay. And then I was like, wow, I haven't heard anybody say that for such a long time. Because you're right. Everybody's talking about doom and gloom and we're ruined and climate change. And then, I can see we would start, if we think, well, if we're doomed, why bother? Why should I make a change?
Exactly.
But what you're saying makes so much sense. It's like, no, that opportunities are everywhere. And actually, we should be encouraged to do that. So, no, really beautiful, Michael. That's one to definitely think about. Do you, I was going to ask you, before we finish, if you wouldn't mind guiding us through maybe a short breathing exercise to close the session. But before we do that, is there anything else you wanted to talk about, anything we've not covered?
Well, you said an interesting thing about the churches running empty and the yoga schools full. And I something clicked and I thought like, I think in a church, we're very much told what God is. We're told about love. We're told, but not really living it, not really feeling it. And I think a lot of people don't feel their hunger satisfied to feel a connection or to know what life is, what God is, what creation is. And I think things, practices like meditation and yoga, it gives them that, because it goes beyond the philosophy and the theories about what life is or what God is, but people start to really feel and to understand that, okay, you cannot put God or life in a box and say, okay, this is what it is. And I put a nice theory around it, a nice book about it, a nice story, and this is God. Now, it's something uncomprehensible for our human brain to understand. And as soon as we try to describe it, we put our mental projection on it. And then you get all sorts of different types of religions with their own different masters and saints. But if you look at the essence of many of the true enlightened teachers, they didn't really follow a religion themselves. A religion was started to be based on these people, because with our human minds, we wanted to say, so this is it. No, but it's not about the mind wanting to capture stuff. It's about being able to experience it, to feel it. And all these beautiful techniques that people now start to do more and more, they start to connect with that more, to experience, to feel it, right?
Yeah, it's the community as well, isn't it? It's like you go into a breathing retreat or and there's a whole, you're all there together, you've all been brought there by that, and you go to a beautiful location, and I think that's probably what we miss from the church side, is the community and knowing each other. But I guess, yeah, I'm just thinking as well now, like in a church that you're being talked at mostly,
yeah,
and you're sitting still, and yeah. Then if you go to yoga or breathing, you're moving and you're breathing and you're feeling it and experiencing it, and it's quite a different experience compared to being told, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. And I think the power of prayer, in essence, at the beginning when Christianity was created, it was very much meditation, right? Very, very connected also with all these other practices, with Buddhism and everything. It was meditation. It was about experiencing, listening, connecting with the divine source, mm-hmm. instead of just saying something, blah, 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 and then, okay, you don't feel anything. And all these practices of breath work and movement, it prepares the body to be in such a state, it prepares the brain and the nervous system to be in such a state to be able to feel that, to feel deep inner peace, to feel a connection with this wonderful creative universe, that you feel like you're part of it, you're carried by it, and to feel like, ah, wonderful. And that goes beyond the mind concepts and thinking and words and all these things. So this is I think a beautiful thing, and a lot of people are starting now with yoga, maybe for a physical reason. They have a back pain or a neck pain, or they just need to unwind a bit. But the more they develop in their practice, and also in breath work the same thing, the more they develop in their practice, the deeper and deeper they learn to bring their awareness into a deeper state of consciousness.
Yeah. Beautiful. Well, I think that's a lovely place for us to draw this conversation to a close. And I would love, I think, to do maybe a part two with you at some point in the future, because I feel we could talk for days about breathing. Would you close us off with a little bit of breath work? Would that be okay?
Absolutely.
I'll put the camera on you mainly and switch me off, and then just, yeah, a couple of minutes, whatever works for you. I'll pop myself on mute, and yeah, I think it'd be really great for our audience just to be gathered, you know, to a close.
Wonderful. So it's always good to have everything a bit loose, right? So shake the hands a bit loose, maybe roll the shoulders a bit, roll the neck. Good. Now we will do a very simple short breathing techniques. I think we'll be taking about 8 minutes or something. But before doing the breathing techniques, it's always good to first connect a bit with your state of body, your state of mind, and what I talked about, your let's say your inner energy flow, and then to start influencing it with breath. So take a little moment. You can sit with the hands on your lap like this. Just take a couple of calm breaths, and for just a moment, recognize, like, okay, I'm sitting here. How is my body actually feeling? You feel your face. Maybe you can relax it a bit. Maybe not. That's also fine. You feel your arms, your hands. You feel your breathing moving through the body. You feel your legs. And as you have your eyes closed, also recognize, like, okay, if you take a look within, are there a lot of thoughts happening, or is it nice and quiet? Maybe you see some visualization, you have some imaginations, like you recognize, like, ah, that's now the flow of energy through my nervous system, through my neural connections in the brain. Like, you take a little smile at it, and just recognizing whether it's very positive, restless, calm, it's all good. It's just your state of being at this moment. Now we're going to take five nice deep breaths. And with the exhalation, we start off with an exhalation. We round the spine a bit. We bring the head down. With a nice deep inhalation, you bring the chin a bit up. You open the chest. Like this, with the exhalation, you round the spine. With the inhalation, you bring the chest open, the chin up. For four more deep breaths like this, just to create a little bit of space. And after your last nice deep breath in, you exhale very slowly with the hands open on your knees. Just calm down for a moment your breath. I'm sure you can loosen up a bit more the face. You can loosen up the hands, the arms. Right, we're going to do this one more time. This time for nine really deep breaths, right? So exhale completely. Take a deep breath in, open. Exhale, inhale, and like this, we start to just create a little bit of space in the physical body, in the nervous system, in the heart, in the throat. For the last three nice deep breaths. And after your last full deep inhalation, again, exhale very, very slow with the hands open. And learn to recognize how a breathing technique has its slight effect. You have the eyes closed, but the eyes are still working. Maybe the eyes move a bit. Maybe you have imaginations. And also scan a bit through your body, recognizing how you feel. It's okay. It's okay. And one more time, scan through your body. And you recognize there's a body sitting there of flesh and bones, but you also have sensations. You feel things. It's the energy flowing through the nervous system. But you recognize there's a body sitting there of energy also through the arms, the hands, the chest, the heart. Some places feel tense, some places feel open and loose. It's all good. Just recognizing, that's my body. That's my energetic system. All good. Now connect your breathing with your whole body. And breathing very softly, very gently, but it's not just air that you're breathing. It's like with a slow inhalation through the nose from the belly up, very slow, nothing too deep. You feel expansion, and on the exhalation, you let go. like that on the inhalation, expanding slowly. Maybe you hold for a little moment, make a little smile to connect. You exhale, you release from the tips of your fingers, face, the heart. All good, all good. The last two breaths like this. Last two breaths with full awareness. Very soft, like friendly breaths. Friendly, kind, slow breaths, reprogramming your own nervous system. It's all good. It's all good. Feel free to just move a bit the body, keeping that relaxed attention. Lastly, to rub the hands together. Just place a hand on the belly, a hand on the heart to finish off this session. You make a little smile to yourself, a kind smile that you're connecting. It's all okay. It's all good. Wonderful. Thank you. Good. Feel free to massage a bit your eyes, to massage a bit your head, going over the body.
Thank you. That was really beautiful, Michael. Much appreciated. And I feel very relaxed now, which is lovely as we head into the evening.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, all the best for everyone. And I think with these practices, it's a lot of the breathing practices. It's more of a preparation than to be able to sit in a very calm meditative state. The goal is not the practice itself of the breathing or the strong breathing. The strong breathing is just a preparation, but to be able to, with less breathing, to be able to just sit in a state of calmness and to develop the ability to sit with yourself, even if you're doing nothing, even if you're not feeling so much, to really deepen your practice like that.
Yeah. Beautiful. I will link for everybody down below all of your course and website and YouTube channel. And I highly recommend people go and subscribe to your YouTube channel straight away and watch all the beautiful content you have there. Is there any last parting comments before we draw a close to the session?
No, I really, really hope that it will become really a normality for people's lives to every day take a bit of time, 20 minutes or maybe even a half an hour, to take care of your mind and your body and your emotional system. And everybody that is already doing that, be an inspiration for others as well. You're part of a big transformation in this world, I believe, and together making it a more beautiful planet, more beautiful mankind. So we're all connected. All the best with that.
All the best. Thank you, Michael. And thank you, everybody, for watching. We'll see you on the next Breathcast. Cheers. Cheers, Michael. Well, congratulations, first of all, for sticking through to the end. That's a heavy conversation, isn't it? Talking about society and breath work, and what a beautiful breathing exercise that Michael took us through. So thank you. You are the true fans that stuck all the way through to the end, and I love you for it. Just as a reminder, we're on Instagram, takeadeepbreath.co.uk. The big Take a Deep Breath channel is now at 136,000 people, which is bonkers. We've got over 250 videos, breathing exercises. You can fill your boots with free stuff forever. And remember, are you interested in becoming a breathwork ninja? I spoke about it at the start of the course. Come and be with me as a breathwork ninja. Let's learn the functional breathing foundations together so that you can set up the foundation for the rest of your life and learning how to breathe properly, functionally. We learn the what, the why, and the how. I'll give you the exercises. You can download them and keep them forever. There's PDFs in there, there's weekly planners, there's interviews with top experts, there's podcast clips in there, there's all sorts of stuff. So I've really sat down and thought, how can I give people as much value as possible? And don't forget, it's completely risk-free. There's a 30-day money-back guarantee, and there's a 22% discount off the course down below. So make sure you check that out, and let me be your breathwork coach. And together, we breathe, we share wonderful advice, and we all get healthier and happier and share that with other people. So thank you again for watching. It's an absolute pleasure. And I'll see you either on another breathcast or maybe check out this breathing exercise. Thanks so much. Cheers.